Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Troy Foundry Theatre will present a new piece entitled A Deed Without a Name from May 19th to the 30th in the E. Stewart Jones Hacker Murphy Law Firm parking lot next to the Trojan Hotel in Troy, New York. A Deed Without a Name is created by Katie Pedro and is the first main stage Troy Foundry Theatre production of the 2021-2022 season. Performed by three actors, the work investigates memory, reclamation, and consciousness. And I am joined now by Katie Pedro and Angelique Powell to discuss the piece. Welcome to the Roundtable. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us. Yeah, thanks, Sarah.
Absolutely. My pleasure. It's wonderful to speak with you again. Katie, let's begin by having you tell us where the seeds of this piece came from for you and what you wanted to explore.
Yeah. I wrote this play in 2017 in its original form. I wrote it while I was studying under playwright Sybil Kempson, who has been a big inspiration for the style in which I write. She spent a lot of time teaching us to write impossible plays, which is like the best piece of advice I've ever been given. She would always say, like, write the impossible play. Write things that they cannot do. They will figure it out. They will have fun figuring it out. Don't ever limit yourself in like what you think is possible in the like logistics of a production.
And you took that advice so and ran with it.
Absolutely. I mean, David Gerard will tell you that that's a problem I often present him in my writing. Problems that he says, how do you think we're supposed to do this? I had like quite a few sort of like influences I was working from, but honestly, the seeds of the play really started from like these little pieces of memories that I had written down that I was working on processing. And the like document that was the play at the very beginning was literally a document of like clusters of memories that had no connection to each other and were seemingly random, and you might wonder why they were all in a document together. and you might wonder that still when you see the play, and I hope you do. The memories were the seeds of this play.
The play is performed by three actors. It's curated and devised with you by Ethan Botwick, Emily Curo, and David Gerard of the Troy Foundry Theater. How do you collaborate with the actors? And of course, Angelique will speak to this as well, but how do you collaborate with the actors and your co-curators and theater artists to make your memories into something you want to show people?
I mean, yeah, like what a question, because we're still in the process of figuring. I mean, every process has its own version of that. We as a company pretty much exclusively work collaboratively. It's the way that we like to work. I, in fact, as we've been working on this play, have been saying, I don't know why everybody doesn't do this way. Like, everybody should write plays in this way. So we're really working on decentralizing the process so that rather than having this sort of like set hierarchy where there is a playwright and there is a director and the director makes the decisions and everybody else just does them, like we're not interested in that. So a big way that we've been doing it is sort of being intentional about who's in the room and who's running the room, and also intentional about the kind of permission that everyone is given. Everyone in this process knows that I wrote this piece, but that everything is up for debate and that they don't always have to run things by me. Like you can cut things, you can add things, you can change things, we can talk about it later, but I'm really never gonna fight you that hard on it, because they're in this collaborative way of working. There's this like incredible synergy of shared ownership and what we're making, and it's no longer my play, it's our play. And I am totally willing to give my play up to the community, because the way that it's built with every single community member having like a sort of like equal partnership and stake in it builds so just a stronger experience that like I couldn't have written on paper.
Angelique Powell is one of the actors in the piece. Angelique, what is that collaboration like for you as a performer from your side of the, not footlights exactly, but from where you're standing? What is it like for you?
Yeah, so, wow, that's a question. It's a lot of things. It's frightening. It's exhilarating. It's freeing. It's so many things. And I will say that coming to the Troy Foundry Theater Company at the end of last year in Models of Perfection, which is another Katie Pedro script, that was one of the first things that kind of scared me about the process. Is, you know, I come from a background of the traditional hierarchy of that process and being told this is what you do when you're a vessel for that, as opposed to being respected in the sense of, like, you are an artist who thinks and feels and has an opinion about this piece too, and also has creative ideas that could help push this story forward. And we're open to that discussion and collaborating and seeing your vision come to life as well. So it's something about Troy Foundry Theater that has always attracted me to them, and even more so now in this production that's been fleshed out in a way, as Katie mentioned, where, you know, there were days where the actors ran the room and were able to play. And there's such a freeness in collaborating and discussing and being able to be a part of what the entire picture is going to be, but then also recognizing that some of that picture is always just going to belong to you.
Troy Foundry Theater is known for creating site-specific theater pieces that aren't a standard, you know, proscenium stage, etc. I mentioned in the introduction that this one is being performed in the E. Stewart Jones Hacker Murphy Law Firm parking lot, which is, I believe, where the last one was as well. Is that right, Angelique and Katie? Who is also there?
Okay. Yeah.
So for inside the world of the show, what can you tell us about where the characters are for this one? I knew you were going to laugh. I knew you were going to laugh. That's why I phrased it. What can you tell us about where they are? What does it look like?
You know, like, I can, this is the kind of question that I can always answer with, like, I can tell you what it's not.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can tell you that it's not a place that exists in our reality. But that it probably feels very familiar. Does that make sense, Angelique?
Yeah, I would totally agree. I would say that it takes place in an experience more than like a physical location that would be familiar to this plane. I think that's the best way that I would be able to describe it.
Well, and, you know, I'd also say that, like, you know, that parking lot is magical. If you haven't been to that parking lot, like, we do a lot in that parking lot, and we did Models of Perfection in that parking lot, but the way that we're setting this piece up, it really feels like a different parking lot somehow. Like, the experience of watching the show is wildly different. And, you know, when we've been teching over the last couple of days and we're looking at the parking lot, and, you know, we have a deep desire to do things in sound spaces. But when we decided that we were going to use the parking lot again, we felt like, okay, well, how is this going to be a different experience than what it was before? Because what it was before worked really well for that. But this is a totally different piece. So I don't want the audience to feel like they're like, oh, here we are in the parking lot again, and we sit in these same chairs. So we're like watching the show, and as we're teching the show, and the actors are in like this space, and I'm kind of like walking around them in circles. And I realized that a huge part of the experience I was having was walking around them in circles, and this like agency I had to change my point of view and who I was focused on, and like get a little closer and get a little further. And that became a big part of the like architecture of the space for us, to the point where we started having the discussion of like, do we need to change the seating arrangement? I think we're doing this wrong. I think we need to open up the seating arrangement in a more fluid way. And Ileana, one of our actors, said, oh, this kind of makes us feel like an installation.
Mm-hmm.
which I think also a little bit speaks to your question too, of like, where is this, you know, at times it also feels like we're watching this like in a museum or in an operating theater, or like the way you watch a couple break up on the street, or, you know, like there's this sort of like open feeling to the way the location is designed, both the parking lot and also the way that the set is designed by Colin, that I really feel like it changes moment to moment, like where we feel like we are.
For sure. And I would just add on to that, like what Katie is talking about in terms of the agency to change your point of view, whether you take that agency or not and stay fixed in one place, your point of view is constantly changing just by design of the set, because you can't necessarily see all of the actors where you are in certain locations, or if you change your point of view, the way you see the actors is different, and each of the actors are experiencing something very similar, very differently. So the point of view is like is thematic throughout.
I mean, you should see what we're doing to these actors. We're basically like, so we can see you at all times from all sides, and we need you to constantly play every single side that you possibly can, but also keep your beats. And also, you can't see each other, but you have to know who you're talking to. I mean, it's a whole workout.
Yeah, it sounds like it absolutely is. So you said the actors can't see each other. Can the actors not see each other, or can the beings that the actors are embodying not see each other?
No, we physically cannot see each other.
Okay. And what is that like, performing without making eye contact with your fellow performers?
There was a lot of work done prior to, you know, getting into this physical space where we couldn't see each other, where connecting happened. So I don't know. It's weird to describe without my co-actors present, but I would say that, like, while I can't see them, I can feel them.
As you...
Yeah, I mean, and so much of that is so, like, connects back to the reason that we're making this, like, a community-made piece, because there is so much about what the actors are creating and experiencing that when you're standing from the outside, you don't know. And it's really important to have that level of trust and ownership that Angelique can say, this is what I'm experiencing and doing this, and therefore we have to do this thing this way. And it's so easy to be like, okay, great, I trust you. Like, I'm not having that experience and you are.
What are the, and I don't know which one of you should speak to this, so just pipe up, guys. What are the beings going through? What are they exploring? What is the dialogue? I don't want to say about, because it feels simplistic, but what, just trying to get further insight into the piece a little bit until I see it. What are the ideas that the characters are presenting or exploring?
Here, Angelique, I'm going to start and just say like a couple short things, and then,
okay.
And then I mean, I really feel like that's a question that is sort of like a you question, but
yeah.
The big word that I've been sort of like attaching to is reclamation. It's like a reclamation of lost things. Is we have two apprentices who are working with us, Michael and Dominic, who are so awesome, and they have been working a lot on the essential beauty of this piece and sort of like piecing into words what the experience is. And one of the phrases that like we as a group have come up with and through their dramaturgy is reclamation of lost things.
Yeah.
Is like if I had to simplify what I would call the experience they're having.
Yeah, that definitely resonates. Reclamation was actually what was playing and circling through my head when I was figuring out if I'm going to answer this question first or not. but yeah, reclamation for sure. And I would say like reclamation of loss is certainly like the biggest umbrella. And I would say like underneath it, it feels like a reclamation of agency. And what does that agency look like for individuals? And it's interesting. The experience for me is interesting in the sense that, you know, the show that I performed in October, Models of Perfection, is not, it's not the same show, right? But we're dealing in this production where we're talking about this reclamation of lost things and really specifically, like Katie discussed earlier, these memories, right? And these are memories that belong to Katie, but then there are memories that kind of belong to all of us that we can all connect to. And for me, it's been such an interesting experience because there are things, if you are familiar with Models of Perfection, that are connected in this world and that are memories that exist in this world. And so, you know, I experience this as so many different people, it feels, because I, you know, Sister was the character I played in Models of Perfection, and I was so connected to Sister, probably like the character that broke me wide open and just like made me recognize like how my creative brain works, right? And then there's so much from Sister's experience that comes up in this show. So it's like I feel like I'm in this constant memory loop of trying to almost grasp at like what that feeling was. And I feel like for a lot of the experience, these beings are trying to hold on to these like lost feelings and lost memories, and how do we recreate or reclaim them? And it's just, it's a wild ride for sure.
Troy Foundry Theater presents A Deed Without a Name May 19th and 23rd and May 26th and 30th at 8 p.m. in Troy, New York. To learn more, visit troyfoundrytheater.com, and that link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Katie, Pedro, and Angelique Powell, congratulations on the work. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your final days of prep to speak with me today.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
Once again, troyfoundrytheater.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.